But Sam, Ronnie, very good to be able to hand over to you, and I look forward to your ministry. I've never sat under your ministry before, but can I say, in the short time that I've known you, the founder of Vineyard is a man by the name of John Wimber. He's also a musician as well, like you. But what I've seen in you and Ronnie is just this wonderful thing that attracts me to you guys is this natural supernatural. You don't have to hype it up. And I've seen how God's used you in deliverance and other things as well in a short time we get to know you. But it's a real privilege to have you both minister. Can we pray with you? Hey? Yeah. Yeah, Father, thank you for Samuel, Father. Yeah, the man who hears God's voice, Father. We thank you for their ministry and their faithfulness over decades, Father, and the richness of the word that you have deep within them. We pray a blessing on that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Willington. And Veronica, thank you again for inviting us. We've been here before, of course, but we haven't seen some of you. Where have you been? It's good to be around serving the Lord and loving Jesus. I've been doing it now for about 50 years. And for 45 of those years, I've been part of the Vineyard. And the main thing that I found in my life was that I met the Father, God the Father, ever since I became part of the Vineyard. And it is a very important part of our lives, meeting God the Father. Really. You know, Jesus introduces us to the Father, doesn't he? The Spirit of the Lord brings us home to him. So I'm going to be sharing basically some of that stuff, but it's good to be here. Thank you for inviting us. You finish at 12, apparently. One? All right. This is an African country, this. I have one wife, Rani. Would you please stand? Now, we've been married for 48 years. We will be 49 this year. Next year, it depends on the offering. We'll see if we can do something. But we got two boys. They're not little anymore. One is 42. The other one is 46, almost seven. And I'm 50 something. I started early, you know. Come out. All right, let's get into this. Coming home. Let's deal with it. And it has another part to it. It has to do with hunger and has to do with eating and enjoying the Lord. When you ever talk about home, you think about food, right? And there's always food. In fact, food is a popular subject in the Bible. Very popular. It's everywhere. Food is a God thing. Curry is a is a godly thing, right? What would the world be without curry? Gosh. Okay, Matthew 4. Let's start there. Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus speaking, and he says, "It is written, man shall not live by biryani alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Very important text that. Your food, the Lord says, is not just biryani or curry or whatever else you eat. You live by the word of the Lord. Every word of the Lord. You know, I got saved by reading the Bible. I was an atheist, didn't believe there was a God eventually, and the only thing God could get me to look at was reading the Bible. And I had friends who did drugs, you know, I had that life, rock world. And then I always had Christian literature in my pocket. And he asked me one time, why do you have this Christian literature all the time in your pocket? What's going on? I said, well, you know, I like it. It gives me peace. I like reading it. And he said, I got a Bible. Do you want it? I said, sure. I remember he's not a Christian. He was a thief. He had stolen the Bible. Yeah. And I still have the Bible, and it's an inside cover, had room 13 on it. Lucky number for me. Stolen Bible from the Gideons. And when Gideons heard about it, I became quite famous. Actually, if you're part of the Gideons, you go there. I have a movie out about my story over there. And so, but no royalties come to me, but I just, you know, tell the story. But I got saved by reading the Bible. So for me, from the word go, the word of the Lord is life. Fascinating, this book. If you just stick in this, your mind and heart into this, it'll be food indeed. So man will not live by bread alone. And so the whole world God created as food, by the way. Whole earth. And when he created it, he did it for us, humanity. And he created it for us to enjoy what he provided. Eat all of this, he said. Enjoy it. Be fruitful. But don't eat from the other tree. And God created us with an appetite, a hunger. Man was created hungry. When my first boy came out of the womb, man, he was hungry, that boy. He cried. You know, these children cry when they come out, and then you have to feed them almost immediately, as if they've never eaten food. So God created us with an appetite, a hunger. And there's a reason for that, that we would be hungry for him. Nothing will ever satisfy you in this world. Nothing. Unless and until you come home. So God was man's best friend and wanted to feed him, and he wanted to be the only sustenance, the only source of life. But there was an enemy. What the enemy wanted to do is very subtle, had only one agenda, and that is to take man away from God. How's he going to do that? Give him alternate diet. Become a source, another source of sustenance. His job was to create an unholy appetite. You know, we all have a hunger, and a hunger and thirst. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the promise is, you shall be filled. So he wanted to take man away, eating fruit from the forbidden tree. That's what happened. It didn't seem harmful, and Adam looked at it and saw that it made him wise. And so he gave him the food. That was a very sad day, because man had chosen to walk away from God and to create for himself another source of sustenance. He'll always be hungry, man. You will always be hungry. The hunger has been created by God so that you'll hunger for him. And then we would want to sustain our hunger by doing all kinds of things. And you know, it doesn't ever fill us, never fills us. I learned that when I was still young. So enter the last Adam. First Adam failed miserably, and he was removed from the garden. See, whenever you make something else other than God the source of your sustenance, then you move away from God. You are removed from that spot. It's a very sad thing. That's what happened to Adam. And then Adam, and then this enemy, he tried to do it again with the last Adam. You know, the scripture talks about Jesus as the last Adam, not another Adam, the last Adam. This first man, second man, first Adam, last Adam. And so the enemy tried to deal with this last enemy. So my text is taken out from that spot. He received the Spirit. He goes into the wilderness, led by the Spirit, and then tempted by the devil. For 40 days he was there fasting. In verse 1 of that chapter 4, it says, "And then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry." Here's the thing. "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.'" Basically what he's saying, create for yourself another source. Do you understand? I'm not going to apply too much of this stuff. I'm hoping the Spirit of the Lord will bring home to all of us some application into your own context. What's going on? What is it that the enemy is asking you to change so that you would feed yourself of that? "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And then he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." The enemy had deceived Adam, the first one, into eating, then plunging the entire human race into sin, darkness, and death. And now he also sought to rule over these new people under this last Adam, Christ. And the medium again, once more, was food. That's the thing. Turn these stones into bread. Create your own alternate food source. Jesus used the word of the Lord to win that battle. So it's not just about food, natural food, but coming home to Papa, to coming home to Father God and his eternal word. That's the goal. To come home and say, "I'm hungry, you know, feed me. I know I've been all over the world and I cannot quench my thirst and fill and satisfy my hunger." Man ate basically because he was hungry. God made him like that. God made him gave him an appetite. And the appetite was for him. In this sense, hunger was created by God. You know, one of the reasons why we thank God when we eat is for us to come back home to him and say, "Thank you. Appreciate this." Do you know what Jesus gave us as a communion? Bread, wine, food. So God made man with an appetite, with a hunger, and man's true hunger can only be satisfied by him and nowhere else, no one else and nothing else. You're probably finding that out in your life. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." So when we hunger for God, we shall be filled. We are home. If not, sin, darkness, and death is our portion. Another word for sin or darkness or death is exile. You're removed, you know, from your spot. Spiritual death. Another term for spiritual death is exile. What is exile? Exile is living in another country, cut off from home, while longing to return someday. Exile is another mastery or bondage, all because we're eating from the wrong tree. An alternate diet. So when we lose our hunger for God, yeah, we're an exile. Because we've chosen other food. Do you know, it's quite a serious thing. Boney M, the popular group, sang a song, and they based it on the Psalm 137. And it goes like this: by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We can sing it, right? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there, those who carried us away captive asked us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? You can never sing God's song when you're on foreign turf. You know, one big thing is like unforgiveness is foreign turf. You know, we've got to come back home to God and come back to His Word. We can't eat the food that other guy is giving us. We have to starve him. We've got to starve the devil. Don't give him that. So, exile. If you still don't believe me, all right. Look at this one, and it's coming out of that text that I found in your mural there, in the window. Luke 15, the story of the prodigal. So there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Now, you know, I know you got it all up there. I usually like one verse at a time, but we couldn't do it today. Don't read on. You know that story. But yeah, there's no culture in the whole world that actually does this, what this guy did. Jesus tells a story. What is the problem? That he was saying to his father, basically, you're not dying fast enough. My paraphrase. Give me my portion of the will. Give it to me now, please. Yeah, but it's in the form of real estate. No, yeah, liquidate the assets, please. Sell some of that stuff. Give me my money. You're taking too long to die. Where did you see any culture ever do that? But Jesus is telling us a story, trying to tell us what we did. What we did with him. You gave us this body, you gave us this mind, you gave us everything, you created us. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. But we're going. Thank you. We are going to go eat elsewhere. Give us the money. Not long after that, because it takes a while to get the real estate sorted out, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, exile. And there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole land. Hey, and he began to be in want and need, hungry. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. You know, another word for pigs in the Bible, unclean animals, is unclean spirits. The demonic wait for us. That's what was going on. You walk away from Father's house, from the Father's word, then the demonic is waiting. See, is this stuff. I don't know if you see it, but when I started reading the stolen Bible, it worked. I mean, a lot of this stuff got a hold of me. Really? He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, that is what we need. You have to come to yourself. You know, we talk about it in contemporary language. You say, find yourself. Eh? Where have you lost yourself? Find yourself. Our hunger for God must return. We must realize, you know what? I am deprived. I am in a famine, a spiritual famine. I'm so far, I'm lost. I have stuff, and that stuff doesn't mean a thing now, because I thought that that would create my thirst or my satisfy my thirst and hunger and so on. And then he comes to his senses and he asks the question of himself, how many of my father's hired servants have what? Food to spare. And yet I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. The same father you wanted dead. I don't want to know about you anymore. Sometimes we blame God so much. He's taken away this and that and the other. And so he got up and went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And filled with compassion for him. You might think the father wants to smack you the moment he sees you. We would want to do that. You wanted me dead. Really? And now you come back with your tail between your legs. Really? Not father. Father is so different. Today, you would be with him. Today, we would be home with him. If you just say, when you come to your senses and say, I've had enough. I've had enough of that. Won't come home. You will find compassion. And Father running to you. Father running to you. Threw his arms around him and kissed him. You remember he stunk to high heaven with all of the pigs thing. And Jesus tells the story. Imagine. I'm no longer worthy to be called. Shut him up. But the Father said to his servants, quick. Bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, again, food. Kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. How wonderful. Father coming. Son coming home. So when he returns this home, he come to a party, food, provision, and it was stored. David, when he repented of the Lord, repented of his sin, in Psalm 51 you read, where he's praying, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. We sang about that this morning. The joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way so that sinners will turn back to you. We can't tell anybody about him without us coming home first. Our joy must return. In exile, there's no joy. We cannot sing the Lord's song on foreign turf. Can't. And those devils are going to agitate us. Sing. Sing. You're among the pigs. Sing. Can't. We can't. And in Nehemiah 8, we read that when the people from exile had returned, they came home. He said, go your way, eat the fat. After he read a whole lot of scripture and prayer or whatever, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, when you come home, there's joy. That's how you'd know, actually, you've returned, when your joy has returned. Nehemiah was talking to returning exiles. When we come to ourselves, we remember Father's house where food is. When our hunger for God returns, we return from exile. Then we'll be able to sing the Lord's song. Amen. I know you're waiting for more, but that's it. Yeah, I'm done. I said a lot, so if you got a tape, that's good. But if we don't have a tape, come close. I mean, sorry for me. Come close. Here we go. I said, warm. You've got a nice jersey on. Thank you. Warm. So we're going to pray a little bit. That's why I finished a little bit early. We got 20 minutes. Apparently, I'm supposed to finish by 1:15 or 1:30. For some of you, 1:45. That's. You know, this is a very serious word. A very, very serious word. And we're home. We're with family. We're among family. And this is the best place to return. This is the place where you can say to the Lord, you know, I'm tired. Really, I am tired. I haven't eaten in so long. And I know that this book that I read, I became a Christian reading the book. I had not gone to church. I didn't know I had to go to church. I just read the book. And as I read the book, I began to pray. And the drugs that I did left. Pigs, they left. God freed me. Before I went to church, before anybody laid their hands on me, I have a story to tell. All because of this book. This is bread indeed. Life indeed. Stay away from this book and you'll find yourself without light, without guidance. May the Lord help you begin the journey. I'll pray for you. And then my wife will also want to do some things. Let's pray first. But I think what is important for us is that we come home. We come home. We come home. We love you, Lord. We really love you. Thank you for your heart and your mind for us, toward us. You care so much about us. We are thankful to you, Lord, for bringing us home. Thank you for giving us our senses back. Thank you for that. You did all this to draw us. And then you ran toward us with much compassion. Put your arms around us, kissed us, clothed us, fed us. We feel warmed and we feel filled and fulfilled, all because you brought us home. I pray today, my friends, that we have had the privilege of just sharing your word, I pray, Father, if there be anyone that is on their way today, they will be found in your wonderful presence, found with you, found home. Thank you, Father, for your hand upon us, your spirit upon us. We want to pray for you in a minute, but I just feel I must give you some time to think through that. So when we pray together just now, we'll pray. And then in the meantime, you can also begin your journey toward the Lord by telling him some stuff, telling him. Just as that boy rehearsed the lines and he said, "I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. Forgive me, Father. I'm here. Just don't worry about making me your son. Just make me one of your servants. And it'll be okay as long as I'm home." That's a wonderful place to be, actually. Humbled before the Lord. Let me pray a gentle prayer over you guys and dismiss you. I think I'm going to give it to Pastor first. Lord, thank you for my friends here, their lives. I pray from this day forward that Bible will be opened. Your word will speak to us. You will bring life. We will read it as we want to, like we eat food. Enjoy your word. Enjoy the meal. And Lord, give us the faith and the boldness to do it in our world, I pray. Bless each one. Thank you for the work you've done today. Pray for these that are in front. Would you free them totally in Jesus' name? Free them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.